Technorama episode 579 for October 30th, woo, 2019. Which one is it? That one. Hello and welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lot of work.
No kidding.
Oh, dear listener, if you only knew what went on in the last half hour. We can't even stream this. We have upload speed issues from our internet service provider. We have one scenario where I'm trying to talk to Craig, and I can hear him. He can't hear us. Then when he could hear us, it was all distorted. It's just a big chicken wire and baling twine here tonight. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. Thank you for joining us. If you're new to Technorama, wow.
We're sorry.
Yeah, you missed some of the best stuff we've ever come up with.
No kidding.
If you are joining, you know we're lying. If you're coming back to us, thank you for joining us again. I'm Chuck Tomasi. Joining me, as always, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Hey, I'm doing good.
Unfortunately, if you're watching this on video, we've had to resort to Plan B, which was our old Plan A, and Craig's mouth is a little out of sync with his audio because we're bouncing the signals off of a satellite orbiting Jupiter or something. I don't know. That's how podcasting goes. Also joining us tonight.
No, that's how our Patreon's working out. We got a satellite orbiting Jupiter.
Don't tell Elon Musk what we're stealing off his satellites.
Oh, oops.
And also joining us in the studio tonight is the one and only Brian Brown.
Hi. How are we all doing?
I think you're past the trainee period,
Brian. Yeah, I am. I'm like long-term, you know, can't get the person out of your house. You know, it's like your relatives come and stay, you know, it's like 3 days, turns to 3 weeks, and you're like, oh, really, enough at this point.
Hey, no problem.
You're the brother-in-law that would never leave.
Yeah, I'm a family member that's, you know, been adopted at this point.
You're like family. Yeah. That's a nice way of saying it. You're like family.
You're like family at this point, yeah.
We all have family like that.
Yeah, it's true.
All right. Hey, we've got some feedback to last week's question. So let's do our feedback music.
No, last week. Whoa.
Like last week. Almost last month. Earlier in October, we sent letters.
We get your letters every day.
Hey, we mailed them out months ago.
What about Zuckerberg?
Zuckerberg's reading them. Our letters.
Those letters. I love those letters.
Artificial intelligence letters.
Oh boy. I just misread that first comment.
It's been so long since we've done this show, I think we had to mail out and get responses by snail mail.
Send me some of those Zuckerbucks.
Yeah.
What did you misread? Okay, the question last time was, what brings you extreme nostalgia?
And looking at that first comment really quick, just out of the corner of my eye, I'm like, bongs?
Not bongs, it says songs.
I know, but that's why I misread it. As I said, that's hilarious. I'm like, bongs? Well, okay, I guess that does bring me nostalgia, I guess. I remember this one bong.
Remember that time in college when...
No, it's in high school, man. Woodshop.
That's nostalgic.
Woodshop. Yeah.
I still have it.
I still have it, man.
That was from Marcy. Gary Lindros says, old comic books... My brain can remember where was bought and where I read it the first time.
Okay.
I can get that. I often get that with music, where I was when I listened to it. You know, was I driving down the road? Was I with somebody? The music has a tight connection to a time and space for me.
Mm-hmm.
Tiffany says, recipes, scents, and our family farms.
Scents, especially.
Oh, heck yeah. There's a reason there's like brain nerve cells hanging down from your nose. In fact, I had one today. I just got a new fleece hoodie. And that smell of that new clothes smell takes me back to the beginning of every school year.
Yeah.
Because we always did our new clothes shopping right before the school year started because you wanted to go to school with new clothes, mm-hmm. not last year's flood pants because you outgrew them. So I got a whiff of this thing about whatever chemicals they're using, they're still using. Like 40, 50 years later, that's not a good thing, I think.
Probably scary. Actually, I thought Tiffany was taught referring to like manure.
the scents on our family farm?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Surely there's plenty of that.
Lisa Curtis also says smells of the seasons. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. We were in Michigan a week or so ago, and walking through the woods and smelling that wet autumn leaves in the wood smell, I said, just bag me up some of this and I'll take it back to Phoenix and open it up every once in a while in the Ziploc.
I like, she also puts lilacs. I remember we had lilac bushes in our front yard.
Oh, yeah.
And so summers definitely have that. When I smell lilac, I remember growing up, the house I grew up in.
There are different lilac smells, too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There's the light purple, there's the white, there's the pink, there's the dark purple, and each of them has their own thing. Campfires. Yeah. How many times have you stood next to a campfire just soaking up that smoky smell to bring it home and go, campfire.
Yeah, because apparently no matter where I move around the fire ring, the smoke always follows me.
Sheila D says, music. I can remember where I was, where I live. This is a theme going on with music. It's pretty cool. Michael Slobodnik says, seeing old tech or computer games.
Yeah, I can see that. Computer games for sure.
I would put video games in that category.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's very nostalgic. Weber Baker, longtime listener, says, African violets. My mother tried for years to grow them and always killed them.
Wow.
Oh, poor thing.
She could grow anything else. Every time I see one, I think of her fighting with them. Because of the African violets.
Literally or figuratively?
Well, no, the African violets, they're more aggressive than the Americanized violets.
Yes, of course.
Oh, wait, that's the bees. Sean Brockman also adds to music. He says candy and old recipes.
Okay.
Candy. Yeah. Have you had a bottle cap lately?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It reminds me, I've subscribed to a guy's YouTube channel and he finds these old recipes and makes them. And he was making soft drinks and stuff from like old Coke recipes that have been floating around, you know, that aren't the official ones anymore.
No, I hadn't thought about that, but the taste of flat root beer reminds me of a batch of old Hires root beer that my brother tried to make.
Wow.
It was all flat.
And now we have the shoe polish.
And years later, I was reading through an Apple manual and it said high res games. And I thought it was related to the root beer. I thought it was Hires games.
No. Man.
Jeff says movies, music, random old TV shows, and reminiscing. Isn't that a song by Little River Band or something? Walking through the park and reminiscing. Okay, Garrett Meyer says, vintage Unix anything. Grip to you, buddy.
Yeah, that's right.
Grip to you.
Regex for the win.
Regex, Regex, Regex. Oh, sorry, that's a Star Trek reference.
Ock. Ock.
Sedok. Sedok.
Wow. I've been giving you the finger. Ah!
Oh. Right, said Chuck.
Sudo Chuck, make me sandwich.
We could go on. We could. Lots of music, lots of movies, lots of cassette tapes from Brian Weber. Nice.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, you know, cassette tapes are making a comeback too.
Baby powder.
That's one of those things. Hey,
that has a distinct smell.
Cassette tapes. It was one of those things we talked about it before. I'm nostalgic for it, but I don't wish for them to come back.
Oh, they are coming back though. The kids, the hipster kids nowadays, love them.
Why?
All the indie bands up. It's
and there's only like one company making cassettes anymore.
Yeah, no, I mean
they've captured the market.
Like if you go out and buy a cassette online, you know these indie bands, they put them out in cassettes, limited edition cassettes. I know, I don't get it either, but because I had to deal with the pencil and respooling them up and all that.
Well, yeah, forget the pencil. It's just how many times I've had a broken tape.
Oh yeah,
tons of
that too.
It was a pain in the butt to repair. No, thank you.
Mine didn't often break. They just got all jammed up and gnarly.
Yeah, and then you'd come to that spire was like, and then it'd play normally after that.
Right.
The way I was using them, yeah.
Nothing like listening to Barry Manilow go, look at the little jittery in the middle.
It's foreseeing the future.
Right. Yorga says, the little bleep sound that played when Nintendo came on the screen on a Game Boy. It was my first handheld console, and I played it so much on it.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
awesome. Oh, speaking of feedback, before we go into your section, I got a postcard from Mark the Encaffeinated One.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool.
The Hopewell Rocks. He was doing his journey around, or like facts around New Brunswick.
That looks like a scene from the new Star Wars film.
It does kind of look like Star Wars.
I see Rey up there practicing with the lightsaber. Yep, that's it.
And the reflection on my thing can make two or three suns. All right. What did you get out of your random answers from friends of yours?
Well, actually, before we move along, you had Megan Englow She says Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and the Muppets, which those two do it for me too. Mr. Rogers, I could just listen to him all day long. I love that guy.
I wish I could remember what nostalgia was.
Yeah. You're so old. So, yeah, Mr. Rogers and let's see, on my side of the fence, when I posted this on Facebook, I got Joe Fiore, Almost Anything 80s, and if you follow his feed at all on Facebook, you'll know that.
He's been texting me every day for like the last week. Are you getting that too?
Yes.
It's like, I am. A is for Elf. And the next thing you get...
H is for Harry and the Hendersons.
every message from this guy for the last week has been all 80s stuff.
Yeah.
Although he missed a picture. He missed a picture for G, the greatest American hero.
Yeah, I got that. Maybe you didn't.
No.
Anyway. All right. So let's move along. So seeing my old hometown and old cassettes, classmates, that's Scott Tyler. BJ Kiefer says finding toys I enjoyed in a thrift or antique store. Wait, she enjoyed it in a thrift or antique store, or she found them in the store that she used to enjoy?
Second one, yes.
All right, certain
how
scents.
The elephant got in my pajamas, I'll never know.
Yeah, David Cruz says certain scents. Trampas Whiteman says 80s stuff, old comics and toys. Rick Gladden, an old friend of mine, $6 Million Man. And John Mueller Jr.
That's almost humorous now, the value of $6 million.
Yeah, I was like, man.
That was extraordinary a lot when in the 70s. Now I was like,
really? Is that it?
Huh.
$6 million?
Yes. No, more. I think I can afford that now.
John Mueller Jr., Friday nights on NBC. He had, the 80s Knight Rider, which I had a good time watching that too.
Saturday Night Live sketches.
Yeah, old Saturday Night Live. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about you, Chuck?
I've sort of been weaving mine in along with the others. It comes down to a lot of scents, like that new hoodie, fleece hoodie that I got. Just, I put that on. It came in the mail on Friday. I put it on just to make sure it fit and went, oh my gosh, I feel like I have to like take my first English test or something.
Donna walks in the room. You got your head inside of it. Are you okay?
Yeah.
I'm fine, dear.
I'm fine. Breathing deep. Don't worry about me, nostalgia boy.
Yeah. What about you, Brian?
Your mom. Oh, whoa. Wait. Sorry. That's
uncalled for.
Oh, man. I'm same thing. You know, music definitely is a very much a time and place holder for me as well. Some TV shows, definitely toys. Certain toys bring back memories, of my youth. The old G.I. Joe's, the Kung Fu Grip, definitely is a huge one. I had lots of them. I had like two or three. I had the dark haired one. I had the red haired one. I had the African American one. You know, they all had the scar on their thing, and I had a lot of the toys for it. Star Wars figurines.
You were all inclusive, it sounds like.
I was, man. I didn't care. I wanted a G.I. Joe. I didn't care what it was. So, those sorts of things definitely have. But as I get older, it changes with me. Scents, specifically, bring back those memories. And Thanksgiving, you think Thanksgiving scents, especially for me, is like, oh, man, I remember sitting around the table at our old house, It's those memories that have formed with that. So especially and music, especially definitely music, I remember exactly the first time I heard this song.
Right. Or who introduced me to it.
Right.
Or Yeah.
I can tell you two musical things that, cause you mentioned it was, listen to my dad's albums, listen to Jim Croce and, the Beatles albums that he had, especially the Rubber Soul album.
Oh, my sister introduced me to so much stuff that I didn't realize that she did. It's like, remember the band Pablo Cruz?
Is this the same sister that beat you with your Stretch Armstrong?
Yeah, absolutely it was. But it's okay. That's past that. My sister was angry as a child. What can I say? But like Pablo Cruz. Do you remember Pablo Cruz?
I do. Yeah.
ELO, she introduced me to ELO. Beatles, she introduced me to the Beatles. The Eagles. Cars, she introduced me to the Cars. So I remember that first Cars album, listening to it over and over. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Damn the Torpedoes, that first album, man. Whew. Good stuff there. Yeah.
That is good stuff.
Yeah. So lots of memories attached to, sounds, scents, sights. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. I think we've beat that topic into submission. Should we do the history?
I'm still we're still getting nostalgic about it, Chuck.
Yeah, come on.
We'd be nostalgic. How about Technorama? We're old enough to be nostalgia.
Yeah, remember when we started 15 years ago?
Oh, yikes. And how smoothly things worked back then.
It's the same now, Chuck. It's the same. Yeah. Everything old is new again.
I get nostalgic every time Skype doesn't work.
Oh, man.
Just like good times, man. Yeah, good times.
Let the good times roll. Let's do the... Oops.
No.
We got to close out the feedback. There we go. Okay, roll the D20, Craig.
Oh, wait.
Fail.
You go last just for not being ready.
Yeah, it's right here. I got it in my hand. Uh-huh. I see. D20 is not the first one. All right. I got a one. So
critical failure.
Dice. Roll for crit, buddy.
You know what? I've had these dice since the 80s. Can I still return them?
I dodged the...
No.
I dodged my... with a 5.
I got a 11, so I guess I'm
okay,
first.
Okay, Brian goes first.
Brian
Chuck
first.
Craig. We're going to go around the monitor counterclockwise.
There you go.
All right, let's find the music, which is...
that button there.
The big orange one. On this day for October 30th, 2019, this is the 303rd, which is 3 times 101 if you're not counting. In the Gregorian calendar, there are 62 days remaining in 2019.
It was on this date in 1925 that John Loogie Baird created Britain's first television transmitter. Thank you.
He hocked a loogie?
Yeah, something like that.
Orson Welles broadcasts his radio play of H.G. Wells' The War of the Worlds, causing anxiety in some of the audience, United States, on this date in 1938. It was not Halloween night, by the way. It was the night before Halloween.
Yes.
That's right. Also, on October 30th, 1945, Jackie Robinson of the Kansas City Monarchs signs a contract for the Brooklyn Dodgers, breaking the baseball color line.
Thank you, Jackie Robinson.
Mm-hmm. It was 66 years ago today that President Eisenhower approved the top secret document, NSC-162/2, concerning the maintenance of strong nuclear deterrent force against the Soviet Union.
Ah, yes. Arms for arms.
Mm-hmm.
Also, October 30th, 1961, the Soviet Union detonates the Tsar Bomba, the most powerful explosive device ever detonated.
Mm. And also today, in 1973, the Bosphorus Bridge in Turkey is completed, connecting the continents of Europe and Asia over the Bosphorus for the second time.
Also on October 30th, 1985, the Space Shuttle Challenger lifts off for mission STS-61A-A, I guess. That's true. Its final successful mission.
I thought the Bosphorus was that stuff that glowed in the dark.
That's what happens after you work.
Does the bridge glow in the dark?
Yes.
Actually, no, I'm not.
It's a known fact. Okay, we'll go with that.
That's a known fact.
Happy birthday goes out on this date to English physicist, mathematician, and architect who designed St. Paul's Cathedral, Christopher Wren, not including Stimpy. He was born on this date in 1632.
German electrical engineer invented the Enigma machine. Arthur Sherbus was born 141 years ago today. Sherbus?
And a chat.
Huh?
I don't know.
Sherbius?
Sherbius? Something
Sherbus.
Like that.
Sherbius.
School bus?
School bus.
Italian-American bodybuilder Charles Atlas was born on this date in 1893.
Wow. He's the guy who invented roadmaps, right?
Right.
Yes.
It's a known fact.
It's a known fact.
Manx archaeologist, historian, and curator David M. Wilson is 88 today.
Also born on the same date in 1939, American singer, songwriter, and model Grace Slick. Wow.
Don't you want somebody to love? American singer, songwriter, and producer from The Temptations, Otis Williams, is born on this date in 1941.
And also born on the same date in 1945, American actor, comedian, director, and producer Henry Winkler.
The Fonz.
Also turning 68 today, where did you feel old? American actor Harry Hamlin.
Wow.
Man.
Another actor and game show host and producer, Kevin Pollak, is 62.
Is it my turn?
Yes, sir.
Also turning 56 today is American video game designer and programmer Rebecca Heineman.
Related to Jamie?
No, probably not. But American visual effects designer and television presenter, speaking of which, the Mythbusters, Tori Belalucci, is 49 today.
Also turning 32 is Canadian entrepreneur, co-founder, and chief scientist of Lightsail Energy, Danielle Fong. 32.
Wow.
We're getting old, gentlemen. Yes. We're getting old. Listener birthdays on this date go out to, or this week. October 30th is Wolf Geek from Indiana. November 1st, Amber Elstad, one of our latest Patreon patrons. Mark McCoy on the 2nd, two birthdays on the 3rd, Ken Pace, and Ranger Craig Glasner from San Francisco Bay Area. Avner, OMG, it's 2014 and I'm 40 already.
Bad news, Avner.
I love these time-stamped signatures. Guess what? You woke up, it's 2019, you're 45 on November 4th. Rubbing it in.
Yeah,
if mine were on here, it'd say, OMG, I'm 40.
Yeah, jeez.
It's 1994. Michael Cortlett on the 5th rounds out our birthday list from New Zealand. Happy birthday to all of you. If it's your birthday and you're not on our list, we wish you all the best. And get your name on the list over at chuckchat.com/wiki, because that's the way it was on this day in history for October 30th, 2019. The last one.
No, so close.
I thought it was the end, too.
I swear I heard that.
Wah-wah.
Just run him out the door.
Go up. No, there's another minute and a half. Fine. See you later, band. Ba-ba-da. I wish I had a way to like scoot them along faster.
Play with 2x speed.
Right. Just at some point be able to speed it up. All right. Oh, whoops. I got a. There. I was checking the time and then Donna, the wonderful video engineer, said, there's a other screenshot right on Craig's face. And I went, yes, so.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's why I was like, man, it's an improvement, right?
What's the problem? Yeah.
They'll know what audio clips we have lined up for the show.
All right.
We have news, speaking of audio clips.
Good news, nobodies.
Well, this is somewhat good news.
I love this story. Such a good one.
Craig, why don't you take this one? It has such an air of... Yeah. Best way to put it.
All right. So, as you know, we're fond of talking about old technology here. Guess what? Yeah, this is pretty old. Air Force finally retires 8-inch floppies. Yes, you heard that right. 8-inch floppies from missile launch control system.
Yeah. Hey, if it ain't broke.
Where are those floppies at, Johnson? I put them on the fridge, sure, with a magnet. They're saying right there.
They've gone back to punch cards.
You know, how long have we had just 3.5-inch floppies since, for like 30 years by now? I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, 5 years ago, a CBS 60 Minute report publicized a bit of technology trivia many in the defense community were aware of. The fact that 8-inch floppy disks were still used to store data critical to operating the Air Force's Intercontinental Ballistic Missile Command Control and Communications Network. Okay. And the system, once called the Strategic Air and Command... Do we have to do another acronym? Strategic Air Command Digital Network.
SACDIN.
Say you've been sacked in, all right.
relied on an IBM Series 1 computers installed in the Air Force at minimum... two missile sites in the 60s and 70s. The floppy disks now have been retired despite the contention by the Air Force at the time of the 60 Minute report that the archaic hardware offered a cybersecurity advantage. The service has completed an upgrade that is now known as the Strategic Automated Command and Control. They got to come up with a different acronym each time we update a piece of a technology.
No, they're not really coming up with the acronym because command and control is a standard thing.
No, but it seems like every time they swap something out, they we got to rename this, guys. Anyway, so SACS is an upgrade that swaps the floppy disk system for what Lieutenant Colonel Jason Rossi, commander of the Air Force 59th Strategic Command Squadron, Communication Squadron, described as a highly secure, solid-state digital storage solution. The floppy drives were fully retired in June.
Hey, they got to retire at 60. That's pretty good. Or less if they were in service in the 70s.
See, I'm just I just proved my point when I just told you. Every time they change something, they swap it out.
Wait
it says
a minute.
They
retired the floppy. They retired the floppy disk, but the Series 1 computers remain. Partly because their reliability and security.
Well,
they're not connected to the internet.
I guess. No.
But what I was saying was they had to change an acronym because they changed the equipment. Look, it says right there. It is now known as SACS, and the SACS is an upgrade that swaps the floppy disk system. So every time they swap
something,
the chair
they
out, they got to change the
sure.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. I thought it was funny. Never mind.
I mean, when we swap you out, Craig, for a newer model, it's going to be, you know, something else.
Crap. We'll call it CRAAP.
That's what it is now. It's going to be something else. It's going to be called, like, the next one's going to be called Crabs, K-R-A-B-S, or something like that, you know. You know. Or,
oh, the B for Brian.
I think I've said too much, Chuck.
I'm not even going near the floppy thing.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're all kind of floppy in one way or another.
It happens to all guys wear once in a while.
Hey, try a cancer surgery sometimes. Great thing. All right. Second article we have in the news section is Alien Hunters and NASA team up to scan planets for signs of intelligent life. Well, it's nice that they're on the same team now. Hundreds of the nearest newfound exoplanets will soon be scanned for evidence of intelligent life, thanks to the collaboration between the leading SETI, which we all know is the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, the SETI scientists, and NASA's newest planet-hunting satellite. The Breakthrough Listen SETI initiative, which I'm not even going to attempt an acronym, is based out of the University of California, Berkeley, announced Wednesday that it'll be teaming up with scientists working on the Transiting Exoplanet Survey Satellite, the successor to the Kepler Space Telescope launched in 2018. Quote, "We are very enthusiastic about joining the Breakthrough Listen SETI search," TESS Deputy Science Director and MIT Professor Sarah Seeger said in a release. "Out of all the exoplanet endeavors, only SETI holds the promise for identifying signs of intelligent life. The collaboration will add over 1,000 new, quote, objects of interest identified by tests to the Breakthrough Listen target list. Breakthrough Listen's search then makes use of some of the most advanced observatories around the world, including the Green Bank and Parkes radio telescopes, Meerkat, and the SETI Institute's Ellen Telescope Array." So, that would seem to make sense, right? If we know where the planets are.
Scan them.
Scan there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Aim your telescopes there rather than taking a random patch of sky and going, anybody out there?
So the question I always have is what are the criteria for intelligent life?
If they're sending you a series of prime numbers, right, you're on the right trail.
Yeah, they should know that.
Yeah.
We were like, we used President Trump's Twitter profile. That's what we used.
The bad news is it's a billion light years away and they're already dead.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, there was intelligent life. Sorry.
Because you think about it. We've been broadcasting EM signals for, what, 50, 60, 70 years?
We'll
be on the border and say our radio signals have been up for 100. If you want to take some early radio signals.
Sure.
Okay. And 100 light years ain't that far, kids.
No.
I mean, we've reached maybe a handful of stars.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 4 light years to the nearest star system. And so it's going to be interesting to see
turn up. I loved that intro to the movie Contact. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that in the theater by chance?
No. But I did see it
So,
a couple of years ago, right before the solar eclipse.
Right. So at the beginning of it, you know, you start backing away from Earth and you're hearing all the old.
Yes.
Radio right. stuff.
Yeah, you get like I Love Lucy and whatnot in there, the Honeymooners.
Yeah. Well, in the theater, we had the spatial audio, and it's black, of course, in the room, and you start seeing things going by. That was actually really cool to experience. That was probably one of the, not moving, but fascinating intros to a movie. You know, you're all backing out, and then you start hearing everything's kind of, it fades out, but you can still hear, make stuff out. It fades out the volume and it gets quiet and quiet just as they back out. Anyway, you just made me think of that. So you made me nostalgic for that.
There you go.
It's true.
Special effects, Craig.
And And speaking of which, that infographic looks like George Lucas updated the Star Wars graphics from R2-D2. You're showing us the Death Star.
The Death Star has one vulnerability they were determined.
We're working on Death Star 3, but the plates don't fit together quite right yet. So yeah,
it'll be all right. No, but surely nobody will, you know,
blow it up.
Well, yeah.
Who drew? Yeah. You drew this on your spirograph, didn't you?
That's right.
About the size of Womp Rat.
All right. Let's go on with the Hacks and Strange Stories, shall we?
I think. Well,
you want to take a break?
Ignore the break.
Ignore the break. We're running late.
Oh, we are. Oh, Mister. Not on the show tonight. Oh. Oh, that. Yeah.
Yeah, that. All right, Brian. Would you like a story?
Sure. How dolphins on LSD? What?
Yeah, that's a headline that'll grab our attention.
Okay.
That I think sums up Technorama pretty well right there.
Dolphins on LSD.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
They turn on us.
On April 8th, 1960, famed planetary astronomer Frank Drake turned the radio telescope at Green Bank Observatory in West Virginia towards Tau Ceti and Epsilon Arendi, two sun-like stars about 11 light years away from Earth. At that point, Drake had spent most of his professional career using radio waves to listen to the cosmos. But Project Ozma was unlike any other task he had undertaken before. Instead of listening to celestial bodies as they moved through the cosmos, Drake was searching also for intelligent alien life. Mm-hmm. So basically, by the time he shut it down 3 months later, they didn't find anything. Imagine that.
Surprise.
Now, it would have been an incredible coincidence if, hey, by the way, the first time we're looking for life, we find it. So it's not like it's, you know, surprising. So
there it is.
Yeah, it's right there. Congratulations. So following the conclusion of this, he organized a conference for the intention of plotting the future in search for extraterrestrial intelligence, or if it should have a future at all, looking for it. The guest list was a who's who's of scientists doing cutting edge work in their respective fields. There was a young planetary astronomer, Carl Sagan, Barney Oliver, the director of Hewlett-Packard Labs, the astrophysicist Susu Huang, who coined the term habitable zone, and chemist Mark Calvin, who was notified that he won the Nobel Prize during the conference, and six others, including Drake. When Drake delivered the guest list to J. Peter Perlman, the National Academy of Sciences Space Science Board Officer, who had requested the conference, Drake joked that all we need now is someone who has spoken to an extraterrestrial. But Perlman, ignoring the humor, said, "That sounds great. Let's get John Lilly."
or Giorgio, that guy from...
That guy over there.
Ancient Aliens.
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 So in 1960, why did that font change all of a sudden?
I don't know.
LSD established the Communication Research Institute in the St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands, where he spent his days trying to talk to dolphins. So Lilly is a trained physician with a background in neuroscience, believed that cetacean subjects were possibly just as intelligent as human based on the complexity of their vocalization and the large size of their brains relative to the rest of their body. So he was convinced that we shared Earth with at least one non-human intelligence, possibly many, many more. Mm-hmm. I love that logo, by the way. That thing is amazing.
The three-eyed dolphin.
The three-eyed dolphin. I think I found my album art for this episode.
Yeah. So basically, a couple years ago, he basically argued that if we're unable to communicate with other possible intelligent species on Earth, how are we going to talk to aliens, man? And so... before we become too successful, he basically said, it's wise to spend some time, talent, and money on research with the dolphins, which may be a group with whom we may learn basic techniques of communicating with really intelligent life forms. It's like Arrival. Did you guys ever see that movie?
Didn't you watch
Arrival?
Flipper?
Oh, Arrival, yes. With the aliens that came down and they were trying to
How do you talk to aliens?
Right.
You know, math, we kind of did that. But still, what happens if they...
Or Independence Day.
Yeah, a MacBook. That's all we need.
Upload the virus.
Yeah, upload the virus. We're good.
You can't talk to him, but you sure can virus him.
And a half crazy scientist that used to be Data.
So basically what it is they invited this guy because basically he's like, hey, look, you know, why don't we try to learn to talk with possibly an intelligent species on our own planet?
Right.
And so they basically invited him to this thing as well. So what does he say? So Arguably the fan of the greatest scientific minds of the day were the attendants of the Green Banks Conference, but Lilly quickly stole the show. As Drake later recalls in the Anybody Out There, the group spent much of the first day totally enthralled with Lilly's reports on his experience with dolphin communication.
And where's the LSD come in here?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Where is it added down and say?
How about under this heading that says dolphins on acid?
Hey, you know what? I think I found my next band name.
Dolphins on acid?
Dolphins on acid.
So... yeah, basically he set up a thing basically trying to figure out a way to interpret communication with body language as well as inflection and that sort of thing with the dolphins. And I don't know if he did it on acid. I still don't see any acid in there.
There's a whole crossover to Star Trek IV in here.
Something like that.
The dolphins did a little too much LDS in the 60s.
60s, definitely. Yeah. And this article is really interesting because
it's a little long, but
it basically talks about the whole concept is that it's a great concept that we need to learn how to talk. We have a hard enough time talking to each other as human beings. Imagine trying to talk to aliens intelligently. Yeah. What would you do? You were the first person that had first contact and you don't have any training. What would you do?
You can't just raise your hand and say hi, because that might be a hostile action.
Exactly.
Don't even smile, because baring your teeth might be an aggression thing, like it is in certain animals we have on the planet.
Or maybe your inaction is considered hostile.
Maybe your pheromones are hostile.
Maybe... Hey, I like this one little quote.
That's more Matrix, though.
I'm just saying.
I like this one quote. In other words, when a dolphin was injected with LSD, it just couldn't stop talking. I know people like that.
Yeah.
And beer.
Beer, whiskey, you name it.
You have to watch the second season of the Kaminsky Method. Paul Reiser plays a great character. And when he gets high, he just can't shut up. That's really funny.
So you have Paul Reiser in that and then him in Stranger Things. Combo character. Can you imagine that? Whoa.
Hey, if you scroll down a little bit further in the article, there's a graphic with a bunch of dolphins in a spiral. And I was thinking, this looks like a good flyer for my band.
Does
you know,
it?
Like we're playing right. It, you know, it looks like you're
Elvar,
like somebody made a flyer
Plasma,
to put up.
Zip's Law.
Friday night, Zip's Law.
Beers
on acid.
Pitchers, $3. No cover charge.
Oh my gosh. This story keeps going on.
Sea otters.
They talk about,
yeah, it's a long story.
It's a long one. It's really interesting, but yeah, it's definitely kind of super dense and kind of crunchy, but it's neat.
It says one of the Lily, let's see, how do I, that she kept eating the acid. I'm going to figure out,
the dolphin kept eating the acid?
Yeah, I guess that. Oh, Lily was a dude. Oh, he was the guy.
He was a guy.
Running the thing.
Yeah.
Stupid. Oh. So this is a story of getting a government grant, and then he would just do it himself.
Drop acid? Yeah. What do you get? What is your grant for? I want to give dolphins acid.
But they won't take it, so I have to take it before it goes bad.
Yeah.
Sounds plausible.
Sounds reasonable. Well, why do you want to do this, Mr. Lilly? Because I want to learn how to communicate with aliens. Hrumph, hrumph, hrumph. Hrumph, hrumph. Yes.
I didn't get a hrumph from that guy.
Yeah, hrumph. You better watch your ass.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Craig, what else have we found about losing things?
Oh, we've lost some stuff, all right. So this is a mysterious case of NASA having an autoplay video missing $1.1 million moon lander. How about that?
How do you misplace
billion,
a moon lander?
$1.1 billion.
The BBB. It's the $1 billion man.
So I read through the whole – actually, I watched the video, and they were talking about – what they were looking for, the lunar moon lander, the lunar module number 14, apparently 14 and 15 were, I'm sorry, take it back. They were looking for 15, but 14 was also listed missing. So they were looking through the documentation, trying to find out where the landers were. And there was, you know, there were good records for what happened to, you know, 11, 12, 13.
Right.
14 was apparently kind of missing, and so was 15, which nobody had records on at all. And they had records that NASA sent a cancel order for the lander, but they couldn't figure out how far along they were and where it went, whatever happened to it. And so suffice it to say, they went through several places, they went through several museums, they went through NASA. and dug and dug and dug, and they couldn't find where it went. So
anybody remember where we parked this thing? You're talking about when it came back, because the lunar modules don't come back.
No, it never got launched.
They were launched.
They didn't. Yeah. So they never got launched. That was the whole thing. They scrapped
14 to 50. They didn't ever use
them. No, they never use them. So they scrapped 15. Because after Apollo 13, things kind of got.
But there were, the last mission was 17.
Yeah, but they probably had multiples of them.
Okay.
And they probably didn't use all of them.
So this thing's probably sitting in some guy's garage.
As it says, hey man, it's out back, Bubba's how. So it's back. It's under the tarp. So it's perugula out back.
Yeah, here, I'll hit the highlights right here. So in 1960, NASA commissioned Grumman Aircraft to build 15 space-worthy lunar modules, or LMs, for the Apollo program. The fate of 14 modules is well documented, but the last LM-14 is harder to account for in historical records. We attempted to track down and piece together the mystery of the seemingly missing moon lander. Most experts we contacted weren't sure where it had gone, but we finally got convincing answer with documentation from one space historian and artist. He believes the lander was scrapped altogether, and it's aerospace-grade metal, possibly reused in a jet fighter. So it could be sitting in a museum right now, but actually as part of a jet or something like that. So,
right.
But, yeah, the video is interesting for the record, looking at the records, to be honest with you, when they're flipping the pages. But just them trying to track it down, and nobody's like, I don't know.
Well, and not only that, I mean, that thing's huge. It's about the size of a small house. It'd like be a tiny house for somebody. Like I said, hey man, Bubba's got out back. He uses it for camping. It's got wheels on it.
Camping.
Yeah. Camping.
So it's just my hunting trailer.
Oh, you mean the tree house out back.
Yeah, the tree house.
With that funny foil on
it. Yeah, it's got that funny foil all over it.
Yeah. You got me thinking. I would love to have a tiny house that looked like a lunar lander.
There you go, Craig. That's your retirement scheme right there.
I'm going to talk Kim into it right now.
Yeah, that's going to go well.
Keep it up on those legs. You'll be flood proof too.
It's true.
Yeah.
Not much fun for taking the groceries in though.
Yeah. I'll just set up a bucket with a pull string.
And put Apollo 14 logo on the side of it.
Of course.
Then you can sell it to the Smithsonian.
LM-14. Actually, 14 and a half.
I can put a rock beside it and sell tickets to the neighborhood kids. You know, they can come and check out the rock, the moon rock.
The moon rock.
It's only $5 to touch it.
Yeah.
$10 you want to lick it.
Whoa. Okay. We're talking about the neighborhood children, Brian.
Yeah.
And?
Okay. And?
Never mind. Moving along.
Your neighborhood's different than my neighborhood, that's for sure.
Well, this is the part of the show where we normally give a shout out to the chat room, but since we can't stream because of internet service issues, we're just going to have to imagine you're all out there listening wonderfully.
Yeah, let's just make it up. Hey, thanks, Gary, for listening.
Hey, John Miller Jr.'s there.
Yeah, John Miller Jr.'s there.
Scott's there.
He's probably there just hitting refresh on Facebook.
Come
right
on,
now.
Guys. What's up?
Yeah.
Missed you guys on Sunday. What's up?
Everything okay?
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
Your internet must have been down, John. Oh,
9:30 Eastern is when we would normally do this on a Sunday night, but
daylight time's changing, isn't it?
Time is changing soon, so probably by the time we do another one of these,
the times they are changing.
7:30 for us, so we get a little reprieve. We have to rush right over after dinner.
You know what? I was just watching The Watchmen again.
The new one.
The movie.
The movie, not the series yet. I hadn't checked it out yet. But the movie, I love that movie. I know a lot of people had a problem with it because they said it was too much like the comic.
I don't have a problem with it. I have a problem with Madeline Amchick. I can't think of her name, actually. The lady plays the Scarlet. I think she's a horrible actress. She's very wooden. Yes. She's not very good at her as an actress. Most of the roles I've seen her in, I don't care for her.
The rest
of it's not bad.
Maybe. Maybe a little bit, but the
Jackie
cinematography.
Oh man, he's
the
awesome.
Thing. I think the for the most part, I think casting was on spot on for that movie. I loved it.
Yeah, like I said, I think it would have been better with a different actress for her, but other than that, I think it was very good. And the music's really good.
Yeah, but the whole intro love because they try to show the golden age a little bit, and they got the times of changing, and then with the scenery and stuff, it's I love that movie.
I hear that the new series is excellent.
Really?
People have said really good things. Yeah, it takes 10 years after the movie.
Okay.
No. It takes place after the comic. It's a sequel to the comic.
Okay.
Not the movie.
Well, the movie is still part of the comic. I mean, if you think about it, it's the same bit.
It's pretty much, except for the squids.
Well, yeah, that's fine.
There's that.
True.
And the whole Antarctica thing.
And the black ship part.
Oh, and and Rorschach.
Yeah. And the Night Owl.
And Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah, Dr. Manhattan. No, just
kidding. And Thanos. Wait, yeah. Oh, wrong
Thanos,
one.
What?
And Batman.
Yeah, let's cross all the streams.
And Jackie Gleason wasn't in that one.
Yeah.
Wow. That's right.
Wow, speaking of fossils, let's do our last story. Stunning fossil discovery reveals how mammals flourished. What? What did I skip now?
Wait, I'm sorry. Never mind. Let's continue.
I'm willing to take that because usually it's my fault. I skip over.
Well,
something.
I was looking at the patrons list and you started reading an article. I was like, oh wait, I forgot.
Yeah, it
was
the Remember When segment comes before the patrons most days.
All right, my bad.
You put the show notes together, man. Executive.
How many years? How many years of doing this? Like a machine.
Mm-hmm.
Well-oiled machine.
Like Batman's wheels are about to come off. Complete machine.
It's like the Batmobile lost its wheel. And Joker got away.
Wheels are wobbling. They're going to come off at any moment.
So, stunning fossil discovery reveals how mammals flourished after the dinosaurs died. Seared into the brain of paleontologist Tyler Lyson is the date he cracked open the skull, 10th September 2016. Write that down, kids.
It was my first victim.
Before that discovery, Lyson and his colleagues had struck out at Coral Bluffs, Colorado, a site worked by fossil hunters since the 1930s.
Wow. It's famous.
As the hours passed and the end of the field season with little to show, Lyson recalled a trick he learned from South African paleontologists. Look not for the bones,
strange
but
rocks.
The strange rocks. A whitish lump, a blob like a squashed bread loaf, a bit of rotted beef. Oh, wait, no, we're getting into...
That's a whole different thing, yeah. Okay.
A bit of mustard?
No.
It caught his eye. I picked it up and cracked it with my trusty rock hammer that I got from the box tops of three Cheerios and broke it in two, in twain, betwixt, whatever those fancy words were in the 1930s. And I could not, I could see the cross section of a mammal skull staring back at me. That's what it said.
And he dropped it and ran.
And Lyson, a curator of vertebrate paleontology at the Denver Museum of Nature and Science, at a news conference Tuesday, he said all that. That mammal, a pig-sized herbivore named Franklin, Carcioptychus, I'm trying to do my best.
Carcioptychus, yes. Yeah, pretty good. That's
There's lots of P's and T's and things.
Yeah, there are.
Carcioptychus. In my best Daffy Duck. It lived not long after an asteroid carved a 90-mile-wide crater into the Earth and ended the age of the dinosaurs. It was not just, I almost had tears in my eyes, he said. Just like that. Lyson had searched for a skull like this for 20 years. A colleague, Denver Museum paleobotanist Ian Miller, spotted a similar misshapen blob and broke it open. All he got was a rock. Oh, no, inside that one was another mammal skull.
It was a Kinder Egg.
And in there was a little Iron Man. A volunteer tapped open a third rock. And guess what he got?
A skull?
A third skull. This is easy.
Whoa.
Those people in the 30s didn't know what to look for. All these animals lived in an ecosystem that's still recovering from the Cretaceous Paleogene extinction, an event that killed 3 in 4 species 66 million years ago. Coral Bluffs is a goldmine of post-extinction mammal fossils, as Lyson, Miller, and team of scientists reported in a journal of science on Thursday. Rock formations called concretions hid the fossils inside, like chocolate tucked in a candy shell.
A Kinder Egg. Yep.
Hey, kids, what are you chewing on?
Yeah.
Having cracked the code for cracking open fossils, the paleontologists found nearly 5,000 vertebrate remains, including mammal bones, turtle shells, and crocodilian skulls. They found 6,000 petrified leaves and other plant parts. They also found 37,000 grains of fossilized pollen.
Ooh, do you know the street value of that stuff?
You know how hard you'd have to look to see pollen?
Well, no, it's all captured in the rocks.
Yeah. Matrix.
You have to focus really hard.
Really hard, yep.
New York Institute of Technology Anatomy Professor Simon Huffman, who studies mammalian evolutionary history and was not a member of the research team, said, "Why didn't you take me with you guys?"
Yeah. Sucks.
He called their new finds stunning.
That is a lot of fossils to find in a place that's dug over so many years.
They just changed the way they started looking.
Yeah.
Thank goodness for those South African people telling them how to search for rocks.
That's pretty cool, though.
They were able to go into a lot of detail in the crucial time period and were lacking before. So now we have some keen insights into what happened after the kaboom. Crucially, the site includes layers before and after the mass extinction, before the asteroid hit as part of the Colorado, was about as warm as Miami is today. Well, that's not a good day in Colorado today. T-Rex, Triceratops, armored ankylosaurs, and duck-billed dinosaurs, a.k.a. hadrosaurs, roamed the forests. That was until a massive hunk of metal moving at 150,000 miles per hour, though for people not in the U.S., that's 241,000 kilometers per hour, punched a hole in the planet near Mexico. Firestorms baked Alaska. Baked Alaska. Within minutes, tons of Earth launched into space and fell back again, heating the atmosphere. It was just a bad day.
Dogs and cats living together. Totally the chaos.
It was like the temperature of your oven to bake cookies. Oh, Phoenix in July.
Yeah, okay.
It would take to bake cookies the world over. Cookies. Then came Acid Rain, the song by Prince. You know, that one.
No, it's a different
acid
one.
Acid Rain. Acid Rain.
You know, it's Dolphin Acid Rain. Okay, come on.
I'm not doing this article any justice.
No, you're not.
No.
But very cool stuff.
It's a really neat article because, I mean, that's a lot of things to find, especially, like you said, since the 1930s, that thing's been combed over. It's and really famous, actually.
Pig-sized herbivores? Yeah. That's not the little, you know, rodents we were led to believe that were creeping underfoot of the dinosaurs. So this took a few years for them to get a little bit bigger, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we make a discovery like this, the books get changed. And that's good.
That's right. The books get changed because...
It keeps the printers in business.
Because there was 40... Yeah, that's right. You know, 7 days it took God to make, right? The heavens.
All right, kids, take out page 10 through 15, yeah, rip them out
and burn them.
And go to the bookstore and buy the addendum for $50.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Bam.
Let's give a thanks to our patrons because they make this insanity happen.
Cue the music.
You're the
their fault. Hey, if you want to blame somebody.
Thank you. Thank you to our patrons. You definitely help with the bandwidth, the software upgrades, the hosting costs. There's a lot of stuff that goes on out there. Domain registration, I could go on. And you make it all possible. The people on our most honored MVP list are Kyle Nishioka, Avner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Mike Wills, Megapodtastic. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Night Gig Studios, I could go on, so I will. Gary Lindros, John Clifford, Leon, John Noble.
John Noble, that one?
It's upside down.
It's upside down.
It's backwards.
One.
Yeah.
Chris MC. He's our John Noble. Maybe he's in Australia this week. Alexis Duran, Saturday Morning Media, Steve Therian, Jorgis Rowan. Postcard
that
Man.
Jorgis Rowan?
Yes, the one who sends us all the wonderful postcards. John Miller Jr.
Not senior?
No, the one who hits refresh on all his right, browser every good. 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Amber Elstad, Harold McKinstry, Amy Bowen, Denise Inglis, Stephen Wetchie.
Wetchie!
We now know how to say his name. Thank you. Dean Jensen. Oh, I'll tell you an embarrassing story when we're done with this. Dan D-Man Coyer, NCAF1, Matt Baum, and our latest, Christina.
Yay!
We have a new Patreon member. Thank you, everybody, for your generous...
Now there's somebody else to share the blame.
If you want to be part of this wonderful list, and we truly, truly appreciate it, over at patreon.com/technoramapodcast, for as little as a dollar a show, you not only get your name and our undying gratitude, but also special content that only our Patreon people get. So You get that. We record it right after this.
You get the Technorama calendar with Craig as Mr. November.
The tote bag.
Right.
The tote bag. This pen that doesn't work.
And a nice pen.
A pin. A sticker.
A coffee cup. The handle falls off.
Yeah, the coffee cup is partially used.
It's got coffee stains
in it. Yeah.
Partially used.
So a few days ago, I was going through my Facebook birthdays and it said, you know, the following people have birthdays. And I happily wished them all happy birthday, you know, spent time with family and friends. And Donna says, you just wished Dwayne Jensen a happy birthday. And I went, no. Dwayne Jensen is a friend of ours from church who passed away a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I thought it said Dean Jensen.
Wah, wah.
Well, you know, nice that I'm thinking about the guy on his birthday at least.
Yeah, so, I still have a lot of friends who have passed away on Facebook that I'm still friends and their page is still up. And you have to go,
what do you do? Now, there are some families that, you know, get the credentials and,
right.
and stay on top of that and go, hey, I know you're looking for, you know, Bud or somebody. And they say, you know, sorry to tell you, because sometimes you're doing a search for somebody and that Facebook is the only way you can find them.
True. You know, my aunt who passed away, I don't know why she was following me on Google Plus when Google Plus was a thing. And the only picture she had up on Google Plus that she posted was a picture of me doing my Al Bundy pose with the football where I'm pointing,
with your hand in your pants on the couch.
No. Where his first football pose.
Yeah.
But you know, on Facebook, she was on Facebook as well. I see people wishing her happy birthday whenever it comes around, you know, even though, I mean, they know she's gone, but they say they miss her and stuff like that. But
that's nice.
Wish her happy birthday. Yeah, it's kind of neat.
All right. We got another puzzler for you as we send you off into the wild for the next week. Our question for this show.
3 weeks?
Whatever. The next episode. If you could get a real answer to any question or mystery in the world, what would you want to know?
Women.
Am I right, guys? Women, hey?
Donna smiling, this evil-looking grin.
Craig, answer uncertain. Please ask again.
Yeah, shake that ball.
Yeah.
Outlook hazy.
Yeah. Real answer to any question of mystery of the world. Huh.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a.
Are we in a really in an alternate timeline? Because
are we inside a machine?
It feels like that.
Are we somebody else's?
Are we a simulation?
Right.
Yeah.
Might experiment.
I mean, you could also go the theological route. Is there really a divine being?
What's the nature of the origin of the universe?
Yeah.
Is there a multiverse?
Yeah.
You know, you can. I'm going big.
I watched The Flash. There is a multiverse. I've seen it.
What is multiverse Craig like?
How many times have you been fooled by those other multiverses?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, way too many times.
Is deja vu just multiverse?
Didn't you watch Spider-Man into the Far From Home?
Far From Home.
This is Universe 661.
Are you talking about the Into the Spider-Verse?
Into the Spider-Verse is the one you're talking about. The animated one?
The animated?
No. The movie one with Mysterio.
Oh, it's true. They do have that one as well.
When they were in Venice.
Yeah. No, but Into the Spider-Verse, actually, the animated one, has all the different crossovers from the different Spider-Verses, which is really cool.
It is a great film.
Yeah.
I got to watch that.
Yet. Noir Spider-Man. Right,
I've got some international travel coming up, so I'll probably get a chance to see that.
It's on Netflix.
Tablet's loaded up already.
Good deal.
Is it on Netflix? Into the Spider-Verse? I'll see if it's downloadable because not everything is. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about downloadable, but it is on Netflix.
Yeah. Not everything's downloadable. I was watching a show called Murder Maps.
Hmm.
It's three seasons. Three seasons are like four shows each and they go around London and it's not just, hey, here's a serial killer that, you know, did all this, but it's also how they advanced the technology. Like, fingerprints or the telegraph or it's how this stuff played in and how they advanced the
murder
it's called murder maps with some really gruesome stories behind it. But I started putting pins on my map of London going, all right, if I'm ever in this neighborhood,
I'm gonna go check this out.
Some of it's sad. I've already looked on Google Maps and the Crown Pub is now like a technical school. So I was sad to see that. It would have been fun to go into that old pub. The I can't remember the guy's name. It's a two-parter at the end of season two. But he pretty much gassed a whole bunch of victims.
Wow.
And his house, you can't even drive by it on Google Street Maps. It just sort of skips over his block.
Hmm.
I'm not sure if that was intentional or not. But I'm pretty sure the building has been demolished and rebuilt since then. So it's there's a lot of really cool stories. If you're looking for intriguing, if you like the sort of
morbid curiosity.
Morbid curiosity. But what's the almost like the there's a name for those kinds of shows where they do their
like Forensic Files, that sort of thing.
Yeah, there's a
true crime ish.
True crime ish. Yeah.
True crime ish.
Yeah.
it really was. These really did have. I think the acid bath murder is one of my favorites.
So do you know what I'm actually watching finally?
What's that?
Breaking Bad.
I watched El Camino.
Oh yeah. I'm into season three now. Finally. So I kind of stopped after season one. Cause I was like, I got kind of fatigued with it, but then I got sick. And so I was home for a while and I was like, okay, I'm going to start getting into it. There are parts I hate of it, but otherwise there's some parts
I have to watch it again. Cause there's a lot of fine points that got by me.
Yeah. It's
pretty. Especially when you get to the halfway point towards the end, every show is like intense as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, what's going to happen?
It's almost like Game of Thrones because they put so much into one episode.
And then nothing.
Mm-hmm. And filler episodes. And then they leave you with a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
It's like, damn it. You got to go on to the next one.
I mean, satisfying, yes. You know, even the El Camino, I enjoyed it. I
thought it was a nice closure.
Yeah, that's what everybody says. I haven't, like I said, I haven't finished the original season, and then I'm going to go right into Better Call Saul after that. So,
yeah, which is interesting because Better Call Saul is a prequel.
Yeah,
but I was sitting next to a guy on the plane from Michigan this last week, and he was watching Better Call Saul. I leaned over. I'm like, yeah.
I remember this part. Yeah,
yeah. He's hanging out at the mall with the old ladies.
I love this scene. Nudge, nudge.
Yeah, I said, good show.
Yeah. So I'm finally getting into that. Like I said, it's been really interesting to watch.
We watched that. I think that Donna and I watched that right after we moved in. Cause that was we did not renew cable when we moved out here and probably took us 6 months or so to get through all the seasons. Cause we, watched two here, one there kind of thing. So that was our first us show that we watched.
Oh,
I started watching, Unnatural Selection.
Oh, we watched Lost too.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Unnatural Selection? Is that what
you said? Yeah. Unnatural Selection is they're talking about gene therapy using the CRISPR method.
Oh.
What people are doing. And it's like almost like a documentary. I think there's like four episodes, and one guy he was wanting to engineer his dog a dog to be glow in the dark.
Oh,
I heard about that.
Wow.
And the reason they do glow in the dark is so you can see, literally see that, your changes made it through. If the animal or whatever is glow in the dark, he was wanting to do that with a dog. I'm like, whoa, I need to know if he actually did this. And so I haven't watched the rest of the episodes, but I'm curious tonight.
Another good series of shorts, 25, 30 minutes or so called Explained on Netflix.
Oh yeah. Netflix. Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Yeah. That's a good one. I think the latest one was on coding. They were a little light, but they had some really interesting people on the show, some great historical figures in the the history of coding.
That one's in my actually that's the next one I got to watch. So
they did hit on some good like philosophical things. It's a bit like coding gives you a true creation experience.
Oh yeah.
It's building something out of nothing, something that didn't exist before that you can build. And there's no one single solution on how to get there in most cases, unless it's a trivial example, of course. But that's what I always told people when I get up and do presentations. I said, you know, you might get a God-like complex.
Yeah. I want to solve for X. Go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, go. Hey, by the way.
Add these two numbers together and output the result. Not a lot, a whole lot of creativity in that one.
No.
Well, two things real quick. I'm interested to see this movie, Dolomite Is My Name.
Yeah, it's on Netflix as well. So.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. Yeah.
What's it about? Because the graphic just isn't capturing my
attention. It's a real life story. It's about a gentleman who was a actor, comedian, and kind of became a blaxploitation star, huge blaxploitation star.
Okay.
In the 70s, and it was his character was named Dolomite.
Ah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Played by Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy does it.
I noticed his face on the cover.
It's gotten really good reviews.
I'm a huge fan of Eddie Murphy. That's why I'm curious to see this. And I just realized, it just dawned on me that, you know, in just a couple of weeks, Disney Plus kicks in and we can watch The Mandalorian.
Ooh. Cool. For those of us who are not going to plug out Disney Plus.
I had some PayPal money that I forgot about. Ah. So I was like, oh, cool. So I bought the subscription, you know, for the 3 years at the discount that they had.
And as of when we record this, there's 87 days till Star Trek Picard.
I'm excited to see that. The trailers are amazing for everything. As always, Hollywood puts up great trailers.
Yep.
I'm waiting to see the finished product because Star Trek Discovery had awesome trailers and it was kind of like,
first season was.
Yeah, exactly. So cool. Yeah. I'll see The Mandalorian. Hey. I'll get it, my mateys. Yes, I will. Har.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to see how that turns out.
So
let's wrap it up there then.
All right.
All right.
Thank you, Craig. Thank you.
Thank
Brian.
You, Chuck. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Craig. Thank you, Chuck.
Sorry we couldn't live stream this, but we will get it on YouTube as soon as possible. Until then, we want to let you know that you can get in touch with us by calling us on the listener line 707-530-2428. We haven't heard from some of you in a while. Might be time to put in a New Year's resolution and give us a call.
Put it in before it gets to the New Year.
Christmas gift? I don't know. You get us a real cheap Christmas gift. Give us a call and say hi. Let us know where you are. Let us know you're still out there listening. Thank you to all our Patreon people. If you want to join that club, patreon.com/technoramapodcast is the place to go. And we will, all this information is available on our site over at chuckchat.com/technorama. We thank you for your time once again, and be good, travel safe.
Tell a friend.
Be excellent to each other.
Be excellent.
Craig, give me a binary high five.
All right. 101. Whoa. See you next time.